hopelessness, despair, feelings of I'm not sure how I'm going to keep going forward given all that's happening. On today's podcast, Becky and I look at some of the academic research studies about hope and also look at some of the scriptures and talks by the prophets and apostles that tell us and show us how we can increase hope in our day. I will also give you 7 things that you can do to start increasing hope in your life now. Welcome to the And Podcast. Have you seen some of the memes lately? So it seems to me that social media at the new year is filled with a lot of, I've got this, I got this, and holy crap, no, I don't. And some of them are killing me. I think my favorite one I've seen recently is the rooster. The rooster that wakes up like ready to take on the day, and then by the end, it has like hardly any feathers left. And I wonder how many people are feeling that way in their life.
Oh, okay.
And so
I've got one. Yeah. My favorite one is, all right, if I was an elk and he like bounds over the fence and then he goes like down into the ditch to like come back up. And you know how elks are so graceful, and he gets down to the bottom of the ditch and then goes to get back up and does a and like ends up in the middle of the road, like sprawled. I was all, okay, that's valid. I think we all feel that sometimes.
I love that one because growing up in the mountains of Colorado, we had elk everywhere. And I remember I've seen elk do that. But I think one of my, okay, quick side story about elk that I love. My aunt was visiting in town, and she was so excited to see her first elk. And if you've never seen an elk before, imagine a deer the size of a horse with antlers. And they're big. These are big animals. And she was so excited, and we got the call that the elk were just down the road. She takes off down our driveway. Now, mind you, our driveway was 3/4 of a mile long. And she goes running down, and then all of a sudden, screaming, I see it, I see it. And she was so excited. It was our mailbox. All she saw was our mailbox. So we went chasing after her in the car, picked her up, and took her to where the elk were. But how many of us have had those moments where it's like, I got this, I got this. And we just suddenly do not got this.
Sometimes it's moment by moment, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I thought we could talk a little bit about hope, and we'll talk about courage and also look at the science of hope and how to build hope in our lives. But what is also, what are the scriptures saying? What are the apostles and prophets saying about hope, and how do we develop those two things? And so I just want to welcome you to the And Podcast, where we look at the intersection of positive psychology, personal development, leadership development, and how it correlates and how we can make sure it is a proper function because it relates to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I thought we would just talk about that. Yeah. So here it is, the new year. And did you notice in the gym today how many people were already missing?
Yes.
We're only 2 weeks into the new year.
Literally, like we are the 16th and it's already like half the people that were in there last week are gone.
Right. And I thought, okay, how many of those people have lost hope?
Yeah.
Right. And so we'll talk about how to build that up, how to get that back, how to make sure that we don't falter and don't become part of that 93% who never, ever, ever achieve their New Year's goals. And also what we could do to change that. But I was also watching the news, and being a political year, oh, the turmoil.
I'm already dreading it. We're not even into the thick of it.
Right. And politics, it's absolutely insane. Or the wars, inflation. I mean, that's certainly impacted our businesses. Social media comparison. More people than ever are leaving God and no longer turning to him for answers. And there just seems like there's a lot to be worried about in this life. And I just kind of wonder how many people feel like they're losing hope, or that they're feeling afraid, discouraged, not sure what to do next. Sitting back in that fetal position. I know I've certainly felt that way in my life at times. And I think the older I get and the more I utilize certain tools, that cycle is shorter. I just had one of those fetal positions the other day. I was like, okay, can't do it. Can't be done. Just give me 30 minutes. I need to take some time because I don't think I could keep doing it at this pace. I know you felt that way, Becky.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking on a really personal level, it wasn't that many years ago that we went through a period of our married life that was probably the most like kind of despair that we'd felt, the greatest trial of our faith that we'd had in our 30, what was it at the time? Like 28 years of married life or whatever it is. And I look around today, so we've come a long way in being able to work through that because of the science that we're going to talk about today. But I remember those feelings of like not sure how to see beyond the current circumstance and wondering how we were ever going to get through any of that and be able to get back to what we thought our life was supposed to look like and what we worked so hard to have our life look like, and then to have the rug like ripped out from underneath us.
I think we have more than the rug ripped out from underneath us. It felt like the rug, the subfloor, the whole first level is like the basement was like dark and dank. And it was like, oh, hey, look, I guess we're living here for a little bit. I think it was pretty rough, Beck.
Right. And I look around and we have a lot of people that I feel like that we know that are experiencing what we experienced just a few years ago. And that place can be dark. And if you don't know the proper tools to get out of that, and if you don't know how to turn your life over to God and to really lean into hope, it can just feel like what's left.
But hopeless is a real thing. Feeling hopeless, having depression, and we certainly understand depression in our home and in our family. We are not giving medical advice here. This is not to supplant anything that your psychologist or psychiatrist would say. But we understand that feeling of hopelessness or that feeling of despair. And we also understand and know the feeling of changing and what it has taken to change. I was actually thinking about it. We drove by our old neighborhood recently. It's this weekend. And I thought, I can't believe there's anyone in that neighborhood that still talks to us, because we were in such a dark place. I was like, okay, I know why they didn't invite us back over for dinner, because we might have been a little negative at the time.
Right. And the people that actually became good, wonderful, beautiful friends of ours, despite our like serious, I don't know, pit of despair. Like, those are some good people.
Yeah. It's so funny. I've thought a lot about that, about what we've done over the past couple of years to change, and how far we've come in our business, how far we've come in our marriage, how far we've come in our parenting, how far we've come in helping the community, in our exercise, our diet. I mean, it really, at this point, I would say our transition from despair and discouragement to hope, although not complete, and I don't know if we could ever be complete, has impacted every single aspect of our life. So something really fascinating, I found this study. The role of hope in subsequent health and well-being for older adults, an outcome-wide longitudinal approach. Okay.
Yes, so for older adults. I.e., for those of you that are in your midlife crisis and your life isn't looking like you thought it was going to look, this is the study for you.
This is the study for you. If you are looking for a podcast on the AM dial, this is the study for you. If you have formally identified with artists who say things like formerly known as, this is the study for you. And it was all about hope and how it has impacted our health. And this is interesting. There were 12,998 people that were studied.
Oh, well, that's a decent study.
Oh, 13. Oh, too shy of 13,000. Here's my question. Do you think they had 13,000 at one point? What happened to the two?
They're like, I'm out. Yeah, too much hope for me.
I got no hope. But here's the other thing. Their mean age is 66. So this is older. But here's what I find interesting about it, because I have watched our parents age, and the older they get, it seems like their hope levels are actually decreasing in a lot of ways. And so that's what makes this so fascinating, is it's looking at a group of people that may already have this feeling of, I don't have much hope. And I just love some of the things that they found. One of the things that they did is that they did a control. In other words, they found ways to look at the data and say, okay, this is actually not part of it. This is part of it. And they looked at the socio-demographic characteristics, personality factors, and prior values of exposure, and they took those things out. So even if someone knew a lot about hope, they were able to change the weighting so that it didn't impact the overall study, which is really, really fascinating. It says here, a greater sense of hope. Now, this is awesome. If you have more hope, it was associated with, get this, better physical health and health behavior outcomes on some indicators, such as reduced risk of cause mortality, fewer number of chronic conditions, a lower risk of cancer, and fewer sleep problems. Now, if there's anything I know about that age group where the average age is 66, they tend to have more cancer. They tend to have more health conditions. They tend to have more sleep problems.
Yeah.
And here, right? But wait, that's not all. With your dose of hope, you also get, I love this, higher psychological well-being, which is that positive affect, positive feeling, or positive life satisfaction. And also, they had greater purpose in life. It seems to me that when I talk, right, when I talk with my clients, if they're 66, 76, I think my oldest client was in their 80s, and my youngest was 19. They all wanted one thing. There's all something in common. They all wanted to feel more satisfaction. They wanted to have more energy, and they wanted to have greater purpose in life. I found the secret. Hope.
Hope. Hope. I would agree with that. I didn't go into all the details of this study that gave me, but I found this one quote that I thought like summed it up really well. Hope may be distinguished from optimism in that hope may be understood as a disposition towards having an intentional focus on the possibility that the future will be good. I love that. The possibility that the future will be good. On the other hand, may be understood as a disposition towards having expectations that the future will be good. So optimism is the expectation that the future will be good, and hope is the focus that there's a possibility that it'll be good. So either way, I just thought, like, I guess it just doesn't matter if you're 25 or 65. If you're looking towards the future as it's going to be good, whatever that means for you at your particular age, then that's what you're going to focus on.
Well, okay, so let me add a little bit more to that about hope. And one of the things I love about this topic is it was part of my dissertation at Pepperdine. I looked at sales teams and I was trying to figure out why on earth within an organization are some sales teams so dang successful while others, same product, same price, same training, same everything that they have was exactly the same, but they didn't perform as well. And I was looking at hope, efficacy, resiliency, and optimism, the psychological constructs of each of those. Really cool, fascinating study, but it found a couple things to be true. One, leaders who coach, not leaders who manage, leaders who coach created more hope with their sales team. But then I thought, well, what is hope? If it created more hope, what is that? And hope, Snyder, a big researcher, psychiatrist, I'm sorry, he was a psychologist, researcher, he looked at hope and he found it was a couple things. One, they had a goal. The way that they orchestrated their life was goal attainment, meaning they were going towards something. Oh, hang on. Go back to study. If you go towards something, it increases life satisfaction. It increases your feeling, that, right? Here it is, that life satisfaction and purpose in life and an increased positive affect. Your feelings are more positive. So when you have a goal, and you're working towards it and you're living your life as you're working towards a goal, suddenly you're happier. I love this. Okay, for the 93% of you who have already given up on your New Year's goals, I've got a great video for you. Do you know which one it is?
No. I should be able to guess this. I know you're going to tell me and I'm going to be like...
It was a skit by Bob Newhart.
Oh, this, yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
S-T-O-P-I-T.
New word.
Stop it. Yeah, new word. So go look that up. It is absolutely fantastic. I'll include a link to that in my show notes. If you want access to these studies and the scriptures and access to our notes in regards to the research that we've done in preparation for this, make sure that you sign up. There's going to be a link in the notes here. Sign up. I will send you an email with all of the notes from this. It's absolutely amazing. So that you'll have this full PDF of this research article.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we've done. The other thing. Okay. So one, goal attainment, or they're pursuing a goal. But here's the other cool thing. They have what's called pathways. And the third is agency. Pathway just simply means I'm going for a goal. Oh, someone put a trash dumpster in front of me. How do I get around it? Right?
Yeah. Like
over, under, round, through, whatever it is. You can look at your goals and say, oh, I could come up with 2 or 3 or 20 ways to still achieve this goal so that when roadblock happens, I have a new way to go. And then the third one is agency. So this is all from the research from Snyder. Agency, think of it from both the psychological construct of agency as well as from the doctrinal side of agency. It means I am in control. No one else. My goals are based on me, what I can do. So you want more hope? Practice that.
Well, I think about that in terms of our own depths of despair that we went through. And so the backstory on that, for anybody that doesn't know, is that we had been living in Florida And we just started feeling really strongly that there was someplace else we were supposed to be, which kind of took Mark and I both by surprise. And right, like, wait, I thought we were here for a long time. We like it here. And so anyway, we were on a month-long road trip across the United States. And during that road trip, we came to the conclusion that Arizona was where we were supposed to be. We both felt strongly about it. And we did not have anything to cause us to have to move here. Like, we didn't have a job. We didn't have, like, there was nothing, there was no reason for us to move other than we felt strongly that this is where we were supposed to be. And you hear these people say, oh, well, we felt like this is what we were supposed to do. So we packed our bags and we moved and everything fell into place. And that was not what happened to us. Instead, what happened to us is we moved here and then it went like spiral downward for multiple years. And
you know, we should have had the sign that it was going to be a dumpster fire when the day I left because there was a hurricane coming into town and I had no water, food, batteries, no real shelter to keep me safe. And this was supposed to be this gargantuan. There's no gas. Everything was an absolute dumpster fire. And yeah. Like, that should have been our sign.
Right? You know when you're reading the book and you're like, oh, what is that called when you're reading along and it's
foreshadowing?
Like, yes. That was the ultimate foreshadowing of the next, like, 3 years of our life. And I think about yes. that, like, during that time, we'd have these, like, highs and lows. All the time going, okay, God, what is it that you want us to do? And how are we going to get through this? And it was a really... like a time of escalated growth for us in learning how to lean into God and trust him while not having anything work out in our favor, right? And ultimately, we actually learned how to look for the blessings, however small they were, and that got us through a lot. But I think about what you were just saying with a pathway and having a goal, and I like how many things did we start and go all in on because we're like, you know what? God's asking us to work and he's asking us to try something and he's not going to give us all the answers. We got to just like keep moving forward. And it was the like hope in God's plan for us and a belief that we had in ourselves that we could somehow figure it out. And what was really fascinating was that ultimately, the answer that came was not what we expected it would ever be. It kind of just fell into our lap. But had we not kept going down the path that we were going down and trying the over, under, and through, we would have never gotten to that point. So we lived it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But we were also, it was interesting. We were really trying to exercise this principle from Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. I love this in the Old Testament. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. We were really trying to trust in the Lord. And so we moved, but then everything blew up. Like lost
everything. We lost everything.
Yeah, we did. We lost our retirement. We lost your business, which was wild because that was the business that allowed me to leave a very comfortable corporate career. Like, we were doing just fine. We left. We felt we were supposed to. So, isn't that interesting, though, that sometimes... you feel like, oh, hey, the Lord's telling me to go this way. It's just going to be like follow the yellow brick road. We're going to have everything open up and it's going to be absolutely fabulous. And we're not going to have any problems at all.
That wasn't our story.
Not our story at all.
But look at what we learned about hope. Look at what we learned about hope with like in teaming with God. And trusting in him, trusting in his will, his path, his way, and trusting that he would strengthen us you know, that grace, the grace would get us through what seemed like there was no way out.
But there was a way out. It just wasn't the way we expected it, and B, it wasn't necessarily the way that we ever saw it would be.
Yeah. That's how God works.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry, you're going to learn something really cool, and I got a plan. You just keep learning, and I got you.
Well, okay, so Romans, because I think this answers a little bit of that. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Notice it didn't say that we will have patience because we read the scriptures. It says we have to have patience and, so trusting in the Lord's timing, and enduring our afflictions well, keeping our head up, doing our best to count our many blessings and name them one by one, and then to find comfort in the scriptures. And when we have patience and we dive deep into the scriptures, it then creates hope.
That's cool.
Right?
Yeah. I think about that too, that faith and hope are, I think that it talked about that in one of the talks that you gave me, that we have to have faith, and that really we can't have hope if we don't have faith in God's timing and faith in our ability to figure it out. And that, so they really go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah, this is from The Infinite Power of Hope by Dieter F. Uchtdorf. This is October 2008. How cool is this? October 2008, The Infinite Power of Hope. He was at that time serving as a second counselor in the first presidency. And he said, hope is a one leg of a three-legged stool, together with faith and charity. These three stabilize our lives regardless of the rough or uneven surfaces we might encounter at the time.
Yeah.
So faith, hope, charity. You have to have all three.
Yeah. I love that too, because I can think about during our lowest moments, it was serving others that brought us peace. Like, when you can focus on somebody else instead of your own problems, it brings hope. Focusing on somebody else, serving somebody else brings hope. And that's something interesting that personal development in the world aspect tells you, like, oh, if you're going through a lot of stuff, then you need to let everything else go and focus on you. But focusing on you means you just focus on all the things that are going wrong. And if you stop focusing on you, if you have charity, then all of a sudden, like, you let go all the stuff going on in your head, and now you get to see a bigger picture again.
Yeah. It all works together. You have to have all three. And I love that, because when you're feeling hopeless, I know for me, when there were times that I was feeling absolutely hopeless, what did I want to do? I wanted to be alone. I didn't want to be around anyone. Just please, for the love, no one talk, no one speak, no one breathe, no one eat, no one be around me, because I need to be alone in my despair so that I can truly feel the despair. Now, hang on. To be fair, sometimes it's good to step out, but there's a difference between stepping out and stepping in. When you step in, what you're doing is you're going inward and you're saying, I don't want to be around anyone. This is me. No one understands. No one can possibly get what I'm going through. I mean, isn't that the great tactic of Satan?
Yeah.
You know, He wants to isolate you from everyone else. So if he can convince you that you're the only one on the face of the planet that has ever had this problem, you know, not just the 7 billion people that live on the planet right now, but throughout all eternity and time, you were the only person to experience this. That's what he's trying to lie to you and convince you of.
Yeah.
So going in. However, when you go out. Now, the other day, I was super frustrated. I was like, give me a minute. I'm going to go get the mail.
Yep. That happened. Yeah. Yeah. And I just went, okay, you do that.
I went and got the mail. Took my little walk and, you know, got in the sunshine, got some oxygen, did some mental resetting of how I'm viewing the world, and came back in and I tried it again, but I connected as soon as I came back in. So in other words, I stepped out of the situation for a short period of time. It was not a, I'm just going to sit out here on the back porch until I feel better. No. It was, I'm going to go get the mail. And even if I took my time, and if I walked around the block, it wouldn't take that much time.
Yeah.
Most people only need about 10 minutes to reset and then start asking and then start. Well, I asked myself some questions when I came back, when I was on that walk for the mail. And this is how bad it was. I was willing to go pick up bills. I was willing to go pick up junk mail and be like, ooh, what coupon can I have today? No. So I took myself out. I went, I got it. It was a short amount of time. But when I was coming back, I was asking myself some questions. I was like, okay, is this how I want to feel about this? Yeah. Is this how I want to be acting, thinking, doing, reacting, communicating at this time? Is this really what I want? And, oh, dang it. I wish I had my scriptures right here. I think I do. I do have my scriptures. This is so cool. Okay.
Well, I got one too, but it's from the okay. Cool Talk.
Oh, go for it. Go for it.
The Be of Good Cheer talk by President Dallin H. Oakes. He quotes this scripture from 2 Corinthians where he talks about how we're troubled on every side. But then he says that Paul tells the Corinthians, we're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. And I think about that. I think that is such a good definition of hope. Like, you can feel all of those feels. You're going to experience perplexed. You're going to experience persecuted. You're going to experience cast down. You're going to experience the dumpster fire. But you don't have to be everything that Satan is trying to convince you is what is part of, is the story for that situation, right?
That is awesome, because when Becky and I are preparing for one of our podcast episodes,
so hard.
We do a lot of research, we print off talks, and we do not talk about it at all. It's so hard for days. I'd be like, ooh, check this out. Never mind, you can't see it. I underlined the same scripture in the same talk and had the same thoughts, because it's like, yeah, we're going to be distressed. We're going to be perplexed. You know, we're going to have these experiences, but we don't have to stay there. And I love this. Okay. So in 1 Nephi chapter 15, this is so absolutely fantastic, because Laman and Lemuel are, shocker, fighting, arguing, and being mean big brothers, okay? And they said, and they're really confused about what Lehi, dad, is saying. And they're really upset about what Nephi is saying. Nephi had just experienced this great vision. And as he comes back, he loses all of his strength. It's like, it's gone, okay? And when he finally regains his strength, and it came to pass that after I had received strength, I spake unto my brethren, desiring to know of them the cause of their disputations. He's like, why are y'all fighting? What is going on here? And they said, behold, we cannot understand the words which our father has spoken concerning the natural branches of the olive tree and also concerning the Gentiles. So they're confused. They're like, we don't get this. And they're fighting. And this response, we've heard this a lot of times, what I just read. But the very next scripture is so key. And it's something, when I was speaking on Sunday in church, I thought this was a story I was going to bring up about spouses, is Nephi's response right here. Imagine this. If you were arguing, if you're feeling despair, if you're feeling perplexed, if you are persecuted, if you're cast down, he says, and I said unto them, have you inquired of the Lord? Could you imagine the next time that you're in an argument? Now, Becky, imagine the next time you're in an argument with your dear spouse, which, by the way, in 32 years, we haven't had very many, especially in the last several years. We've gotten a lot better just about marriage and respect and listening to one another. But if the next time you're feeling that true high performers, they look at a situation and they stop and they go, hang on, I need to think differently. I need to say differently. I need to do differently. Think, say, or do. And this is the one. This is the question.
Yeah.
Have I inquired of the Lord? If but I don't get it, have I inquired of the Lord?
Actually, as I was reading this morning, I think, and I was reading about Laman and Lemuel and whatever, and I just was like, the reality is we are all Laman Lemuel. We're not Nephi. We just aren't. We all want to be Nephi. We all want to think that because we like go to church and serve our callings and whatever, that we're actually Nephi. But no. We're not Nephi. We're Laman and Lemuel. We're the ones that like, when the dumpster fire hits and we have to like, you know, have our little tantrum and then like pull up our bootstraps and, you know, sometimes we ask ourselves and sometimes our spouse asks us, have you inquired of the Lord? And then we go, you're right. That's what I should be doing. Let me get back on track. But we literally are Laman and Lemuel. We're not Nephi.
Did you see me at the gym this morning? I felt like Nephi.
You
right?
Nephi,
I was lifting like there was no other. I was, move that Laman, move that Lemuel.
I love that. So,
hey, I thought we could talk about ways that we could increase hope. Because I think there's a lot of people that may be feeling discouraged, may be feeling despair. All those podcasts and those books that leave you with the, okay, yeah, so what? Like, that was really good. That was entertaining. But what can I actually do? And I thought I would share. I wrote down seven quick ones here that I was thinking about that I know are science-based that will make a change in increasing hope. But here's the cool thing. I want you, each of you, to pay attention. I said they're science-based, but this is the AND podcast. I want you to look for the doctrine. I want you to look for the doctrine here. Okay. Number one, set goals. So simplistic. Set goals. And I think about scripture. I think about the talks. If you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you pretty much have the same goal. But guess what? If you are a Christian, you have the same goal. It is get to heaven. Okay? So, great.
I'm translated.
Do you just wake up one day and be like, that's it?
I'm going to heaven. I achieved.
That's it. Set the goal. I'm translated. Hallelujah. No, you've got to break it down, right? You've got to start looking at things and then take bite-sized chunks to start making changes in your life. Line upon line, precept upon precept, right? Just a little bit. So set micro goals of things that you want to change or adjust and track them. I love that idea. Track your performance. Okay. Number two, play out different options or create different pathways.
Yep. I love that because God doesn't say like, here, let me get out the megaphone. This is what you're going to do. No, he's like, search it out, find some solutions, start working down a path. If you don't feel right about it, then adjust, right? Like, it's right in line with doctrine.
Moses, they were wandering for 40 years. And what? Didn't someone actually, and I shouldn't even quote something I'm not positive about, but didn't someone look at what their believed path was,
right,
and said, it took y'all 40 years to do this and you could have done it like in 2 months if you just had walked straight. The Lord doesn't just go, here's the roadmap. I want you to take a left on this street, a right on that one. Yep. Make sure you stay on the right-hand side to get on the freeway. No, he gives us some options. So I love that. Okay, number three, agency.
That is so hard.
Focus
and so
on what crucial. You can control.
Like for your own growth, for allowing other people to figure out their life. If you're always wrapped up, it's not going how you think it should be going, then you're not focusing on what you can control.
Here's my question though. We did a whole let God prevail period, and we still really have to focus on let God prevail. If we let God prevail, does that take away from our agency?
That's a very deep question. but I still would say
stay tuned for another podcast episode where we discuss.
God doesn't say, I'm going to give you all the answers and that's how you're going to prevail, or how he's going to prevail. He says, I'm going to let you work it through, but I also expect that you're going to have faith, which leads to hope, that as you stay in tune with me, that I'll make sure it all works out how it's supposed to.
I love that because I think agency and our ability to make our own decisions, focus on what we can control, and allowing God to prevail, I think the highest form of agency is saying, I am going to do everything I can in my power. But the highest form is to check in with Heavenly Father and keep asking, is this right? Is this where I should be going? I'm going to make a choice. This is where I'm going to go. Father, what do you think? And I think that becomes a very high level of implementing agency and letting God prevail. All right, number four. Play games. What? Oh my goodness. Okay, so when you play games, it increases imagination. Huh. Now, when you increase imagination, it increases your ability to see other pathways. So don't forget to have fun. If all you do is work, you and I've had this conversation. I don't think Heavenly Father is asking us to only watch recorded sermons and listen to angelic choir singing gospel hymns. And I don't think the canonized scriptures are the only things that we should be reading. We have to implement other things so that we can have experience.
Well, and it's through the implementation of our agency to check in with God on how do I feel about this? Does this invite the Spirit? Does this not invite the Spirit? Is this, am I listening to him? Anyway, that's my thought about that.
when we begin to be creative, it causes us to get out of self-centered mode. And so when we play games, I mean, unless you're playing solitaire, or unless you're playing whatever game on your phone, or unless you're scrolling on TikTok or on any social media mindlessly, that's all internal and that's not external. So, and that's where my next one comes into play, and it is connect. Connect with people. I love that you said earlier, serve. How service gets you out of your funk. Do you have an experience or a story or something in your life where you just didn't want to?
I feel like I'm dating myself right now. When our fifth baby was a baby, now she's married, so there's that. Mark was working at a job that took him away from the house. Like, he was just working in the community at a private boarding school, but because it was a private boarding school, he was there like night and day. He was gone all the time. And we just moved back to this town. We were living at this house that had been provided to us, but it didn't have furniture. And then we were like, she was having health problems and Mark was never around. And I was just feeling really overwhelmed and distressed and exhausted. And anyway, and so I asked Mark for a blessing, and in that blessing, I was told that I needed to serve. And I gotta tell you that I had a little bit of a, oh, come on. Like, here I am going through all of this stuff, and what do you tell me to do, God? You tell me to go help somebody else? Like, I had a little bit of a tantrum over that, but I exercised faith and hope in what God was telling me. And I did. I actually met this friend that was going through a lot of things and just started finding ways to help her on a regular basis. And it changed my whole outlook. It, like, everything changed. I felt positive. I felt hope. I felt like, I felt like I had a friend, and it did. It turned into a beautiful friendship, and it came through something that I was feeling like was a pretty mean thing for God to tell me when I was in despair. So I always tell people, go serve. if you're feeling like things are bad, you need to get out of your head.
I love that. Yeah. Find some place to serve. Find someone to serve. I heard Brendan Burchard, 1st of January, he did this really cool event in LA, and he was talking about our purpose in life. He said, some of us are looking so big. Some of us are looking, my purpose is to change the world, and I'm going to feed thousands, and I'm going to blah, blah, and all these great things. He said, that's fantastic. But what of your neighbor? He said, and I love this because he talked then about God loves your neighbor. How could you serve them?
Start with the people you know.
You want to change the world? Serve in your neighborhood.
Yes, yes.
Lift where you stand. The next one, prayer. This is so cool. They showed in a study that when someone is infused in prayer, it increases hope.
When life's troubles, to pray. Something. Don't forget to pray.
I guess those primary kids know what they're talking about.
That's all I got.
That was amazing, Becky. Something.
Hey.
And for our next primary chorister leader, we have Becky
Five
Leonard.
Times is enough.
You've done that many times. When you pray, it increases hope, which, again, life satisfaction, right? Gives you more purpose. When you pray, it gives you more purpose, which increases life satisfaction, which will increase happiness and joy in your life.
For me, prayer became crucial to my life when I started having a conversation with God. Like, especially in our church, there's, you know, we're taught the these and the thous and the, and I believe in that, like respect for my Heavenly Father. But I also feel like when I'm having a personal prayer with Him, if I'm stuck in the these and the thous, I'm not being authentic to Him being my Father that I'm coming to have a conversation with. And when I don't even remember now what changed for me, but there was some period of time in my life where things were so dark and desperate that my prayers changed to being a conversation with my Heavenly Father. And that's when prayer became everything for me. And so I feel like if you're still just reciting the same prayer, then that study isn't going to count for you. It's got to be something that's very personal.
It does. And I love that, because I think when prayer is really effective, it is like a conversation. I was on a business trip in India, and I had a roommate while there, and it was nighttime, our first night in New Delhi. And he kneels down in prayer. He goes, "Well, it's bedtime, so I'm going to say prayers." And he kneels down beside his bed. And not more than 30 seconds later, he got up. And I looked at him. I was like, "You done?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah. I've been praying all day. I was just closing my prayer." I thought, oh, man, I need to up my prayer game, because that was a super cool way of looking at it. He was praying all day.
That's cool.
And he was just closing with some gratitude. I thought, okay, that's cool. So pray. Finally, last one, number 7, focus on personal development, focus on improving, focus on doing things that will make a difference to cause you to change, to be better, to be of good cheer. Right? That was Be of Good Cheer by President Dallin H. Oaks. If we are troubled on every side, then we need to, opposition is an essential part of the divine plan for helping us grow. We are supposed to grow. So we're supposed to have opposition, and we're supposed to grow. So be okay with the opportunity to grow, but focus on, what am I learning? If you need coaching, get a coach. If you're ready to join group coaching, join group coaching. If you're ready to go on a walk with your bestie and go hash it all out, or go get your hair cut, or go get it colored, or to whatever it is, go do that, because that's going to help you in your personal growth, in your personal development. But you have to be intentional about it. Here's a great thing all the studies about hope are showing. Hope is like a muscle. If you want to increase it, you have to exercise it. Here's the great thing about hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in that trusting in the Lord's process. You have to be exercising that every single day. I don't know why this is happening to me today, but I'm going to trust in the Lord and trust in His timing. And I'm going to do my darndest, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to do what I can. But I'm going to focus on Him and my relationship with the Lord. And that's what all of these things tie you back to. You want to increase hope? It's like a muscle. Exercise it daily.
In that same Be of Good Cheer talk, he talks about, Doctrine and Covenants. Be not weary in well-doing, for you're laying the foundation of a great work.
He accepts your offering. Do you accept your offering? And only you, that's a conversation between you and the Lord. You've got to figure out, is my offer enough right now? Is it all that I can do right now? And what can I do more next time? What am I learning? I love this focus on hope, because I think the world needs more hope. And I just really want to continue to get in and study more about hope and how to create courage in our lives and what we can do to really make lasting impact. With personal development, if you are ready, to do individual or group coaching, go to thehappinessbreakthrough.com, where Becky and I will be your personal coaches. We are both certified coaches. We know exactly what to do to help get you unstuck, to help you feel more hope and courage in your day. And if you would like a copy of all of our show notes, our research, the talks that we looked at, make sure that you go to thehappinessbreakthrough.com/podcast notes. You could sign up with your name and your email address. We will not sell you because that's just rude. I just want to give you the notes that will help you get into the studies and the scriptures, even the things that we did not include in this talk. So can't wait to see you next time. Thanks so much.